Now, this summit meeting taking place last week, as there were sort of estimates that, well, this would look like peace, this would look like an end to the Korean War, and certainly a lot of it was worked out before the two leaders actually met face-to-face. But what was your initial take?
Well, my initial take was that it's great that the leaders of North and South Korea were prepared to meet, that Kim Jong-un was prepared to at least make overtures about ceasing his nuclear program and ceasing nuclear testing. But the thing for me is that the proof of the pudding has to be in the eating. We have to actually sort of see that Kim Jong-un is sincere in his intentions. He's not just walking the walk because he wants to curry favour in both with the South Koreans and the international community, and certainly with the summit that he has coming up with Donald Trump sometime this month. But also, I think we all need to be reassured that that North Korea's intentions are honourable. They're not just going through this as some sort of talk fest to buy them time to reposition themselves, to effectively guarantee their survival as a nation or as a regime in Kim Jong-un's case. So, look, the signs are good. Certainly the international reaction has been very positive. President Trump himself, I think, has been very positive. And this, you know, I think with some justification taking credit for this détente in the Korean Peninsula. But on the other hand, so far it's all talk. And from both sides, I think it's got to be clear that there is going to be action. And from the South Korean side, I'm just a bit worried that President Moon is perhaps being a little overconfident, a little over-optimistic in his judgment of how the last week went.
Looking at some of, you know, the past talks that would have happened with North Korea, and certainly a lot of the, I guess, deals, very one-sided deals that have been struck around providing North Korea with aid if they do such and such, and generally they don't follow through on those ones. What kind of dangers do you think there are in being overly optimistic?
Well, I think you've actually highlighted it in terms of previous engagements with North Korea on doing quid pro quos, particularly around aid or cash payments. You know, that they take the money and then they slip back into their old habits, and that happened under Kim Jong-il's father, or Un's father, Kim Jong-il, and it's happening, it could well happen again now. I think we also have to give credit here to the Twitter diplomacy of Donald Trump himself. All that banging on about Little Rocket Man seems to have had an effect, and frankly, he has gone where Barack Obama and other American presidents in the last 20 years have not succeeded in going. And whatever you say about Donald Trump, and look, I have no great respect for him. As far as I'm concerned, he's the world's chief bogan. He's crass, he's tasteless, and he doesn't seem to have a clue about what he's doing, yet there seems to be method in his madness.
Well, actually, I wanted to touch on that with you because, you know, as you mentioned there, Donald Trump may take some of the credit for this one, and the South Korean President Moon Jae-in has suggested that, you know, Trump should be up for a Nobel Peace Prize or considered for a Nobel Peace Prize due to his actions in amongst us. Now, we know Barack Obama, he ended up with a Nobel Peace Prize, and he himself said, "I have no idea why I'm receiving this award." Obama was just like, "I don't know why you're actually giving this to me." So what do you make of the suggestion that Donald Trump could be up for one?
Well, I think if what is happening at the moment and what comes out of Trump's meeting with Kim Jong-un leads to real progress in terms of either permanent peace on the Korean Peninsula, ending or at least putting a moratorium on North Korea's nuclear program and its nuclear testing and its missile development, but simply doing something to contribute to world peace other than getting out of bed in the morning, as it seemed to be with President Obama's Nobel Peace Prize, good on him. I mean, put it this way: back in the late 60s, early 70s, Richard Nixon, when he was president, had this doctrine, he called it the madman theory, where if he gave people the impression he thought that he could actually press the nuclear button at any time, it would actually focus people's minds. And he actually sent Henry Kissinger out as his National Security Advisor and then Secretary of State to actually say, you don't know what the president will do, Mr. Brezhnev. And all of a sudden, there was a bit of detente. And it appears to me that the little rocket man tweet is Donald Trump's version of Richard Nixon. So, look, good luck to him. If he's actually going to achieve something out of the way he does things, you've got to give him credit for that, even if you don't necessarily like or respect him as a person.
And just perhaps as a final point there, Terry, I mean, when we're looking at the region itself, biggest player in the region, China, how much involvement do you think China should be credited with in forwarding this agenda, or even just looking to the future, actually maintaining a bit of a lid on North Korea?
Well, it's interesting that President Xi Jinping has been pretty quiet on all of this. And it's actually, China's very important because the 1953 truce in the Korean War that led to the ending of hostilities and the setting up of the demilitarized zone at Panmunjom. It was actually a four-party treaty. It involved North and South Korea, China, and the United States. So as a party to that agreement, China still has a very important role to play. But the fact that President Xi has not said anything to stand in the way of these developments and not stand in the way of the North Korea-US summit this month tells me that China actually wants this settled too, with as little fuss as possible. And effectively, by doing nothing, China is doing a big something. And it's again another way of China's sort of, and then certainly President Xi Jinping, stressing that you can't do anything in this new world order that seems to be emerging over the last decade or so without China being a full partner. So interesting times, I think, on the Korean Peninsula and certainly in our region.